Oh, and welcome to our first ever sequel edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week, Steve, what are we doing this week?
We're wrapping it up, Wes. We're wrapping up the top 100 things since we have been doing this podcast in the last 2 years and 4 months.
That's right. This is part two of our 100th episode spectacular. We have an extra long show for you guys, so let's stop wasting their time, Steve. Let's get to it.
All right, Wes, bringing it home, the top 25.
Woo!
So, my number 25, I'm almost certain, does not make an appearance on your list because you are a dummy.
Is it sports?
It is sports in general. Have you ever enjoyed a good throw of a ball?
Nope, don't like those ball sports.
That is why you are a fool, sir.
Ah, that's right.
My
I
number
like
25.
Frisbee sports.
You love frisbisk.
I do. A frisdisk?
That's the one. But that's not what my number 25 is.
Okay.
My number 25 is the podcast We're Alive.
Yeah!
You say that, but you don't know what the hell it is. We're Alive, as I'd mentioned before, is a serial podcast narrative.
Ooh, for breakfast.
Delicious.
Yes.
And it's, I don't know, maybe 3 seasons long or something like that? I don't know. I listen to it every morning on the way to work and every day on the way home from work. And I was very, very sad when it was done. It is a zombie survival podcast. In the vein kind of a Walking Dead, that sort of thing.
Sure.
You follow this group of characters as they battle zombies and other humans. And
well, I think all of our audience has seen a zombie movie before.
But they're not all the same, though.
Okay.
Because this is one that does involve battling other people. And not all zombie movies, you battle other people.
Sure.
So this is one that it starts about the zombies, and then as it goes, becomes much less about the zombies and more about rival factions and, you know, turmoil within the group.
Ooh,
that sort of thing.
I love a good turmoil.
But I say it as in, we're alive. Because that's how every intro to that goes. It's like, welcome to episode 3, podcast 2, episode 3 of We're Alive. I love it. And I miss the podcast so bad. It was the perfect to and from work every day. But
sure,
that is why it just gets in the top half at number 25.
Just eked right by.
We're Alive.
My 25 is also a podcast. It's called How Did This Get Made? This podcast only comes out every 2 weeks. It's with one of my favorite comedians, Jason Mantzoukas, Paul Scheer, and June Diane Raphael. And they have a guest on every 2 weeks. And what they do is they watch terrible movies and then they talk about them. Quick side note. This actually was one of the things that inspired me to do the Netflix reviews.
Is this current bad movies, as in within like new release bad movies, or this is going back a bit?
It is everything and everything, baby. Oh, they just did Jupiter Ascending, was our most recent episode.
Okay.
But the episodes before that were Con Air, Face Off, you know.
Oh, classics. So Nicolas Cage movies?
Yeah, all Nicolas Cage all the time. But yeah, they just do terrible, terrible movies. And they talk about them, and they're hilarious.
Okay, I don't really like people talking bad about Con Air, though.
Oh, that one opens up with Jason Mantzoukas saying, this podcast is How Did This Get Made? That's the name. But this episode of the podcast should be called, Thank God This Was Made!
Good, okay, now I'm on board.
Yes.
Because as bad as his accent is, God damn it, do I love Con Air.
Mm-hmm. It's a good movie.
It's a damn good movie. Put the bunny in the box, Wes.
That was a great accent you just did.
I didn't even try. I didn't even try that. I was just a direct quote.
Okay.
Direct quote. I wasn't trying to get into the terrible Nick Cage whatever accent.
Okay. Now, what's worse, his accent or his hair?
Ooh. No, you know what? That is quite honestly, I mean, top five worst accent work of all time.
That's true.
It is truly stupefyingly bad.
That's my number 25. How Did This Get Made? Every 2 weeks on the Earwolf Network.
So your number 25 is Con Air.
That's
Got
right.
It. My number 4 is a film, and it is a damn good film. It's one that is a sham mockery that it was not nominated for Best Animated Film last year at the Oscars, and that is The Lego Movie.
That's a good one.
You're damn right it's a good one. So good to make it number 24 on my list.
You know what? I totally forgot about the Lego Movie.
Because we were just speaking moments ago about Chris Pratt.
That's right.
And I was like, you know what? I mean, I'm in the majority here. I dig some Chris Pratt because I just went to go see Jurassic World. Real quick, just going to give you, I give it about an 80 on the scale.
Okay.
Did not ruin my childhood memories of Jurassic Park, so that's good.
But what do you give Chris Pratt in general?
In general, Chris Pratt is chilling at like a 92.
He's a good dude.
Good. I like what he brings to the table.
God, what if he's actually a terrible human being?
God, like I don't want to. No. He can't happen.
Can't have it?
Can't happen.
Okay.
Can't happen.
Okay. Well, he actually is.
Ah, in my world! It is crumbling! Lego Movie, just a phenomenal mix of really, really good sense of humor. It's a Pixar movie that isn't made by Pixar, which is almost, I mean, that's about the highest praise I can heap upon a movie, an animated movie in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious movie. I really dug the storyline to it, and it's my favorite toy of all time brought to life in front of me.
Oh, Steve, have you played with Legos before?
Once or twice.
Once or twice? Okay.
And I got one stuck in my nose.
Oh, no!
And it's still there!
Oh, no!
I thought the movie was great. I know some people, namely you, had issue with the ending of it.
I did.
But that's because you're just a dumb animal.
He's a dumb animal that can barely understand English.
So I'm surprised you even understood the ending. Or maybe you didn't understand
maybe
the ending.
I didn't.
So I dug the shit out of Lego Movie, and I think it's great. So it's number 24 on my list.
My number 24, by the way, beating Guardians of the Galaxy on my list. I just want to point that one out.
God.
But number 24 is Orange is the New Black.
I've not seen a single episode yet.
The first season is great. It is wonderful. I'm not going to heap any more praise on it because that first season is great. If you don't know that by now, I don't know what to tell you. Season 3 just came out.
Yeah.
Season 2 was kind of middling, but it was still good enough to make my number 24.
The only thing I've seen from Orange is the New Black is Laura Prepon's boobs.
Yeah, those are pretty good.
Because Donna from That 70s Show was always my girl from That 70s Show. I was not the, oh God, why can't I think of her name?
Ava.
The really hot.
Ramona.
No, dude, not the character.
Oh,
the
Mila Kunis.
Thank you. I want to say Mila Jovovich. I'm like, that's not,
her at all.
Eastern European girl in That 70s Show. Everyone loves her. I loved Donna, dude.
I was with you too, dude.
Man, how many dudes are we going to throw in this?
pretty dude a lot, dude.
Dude heavy. A, because she had bigger boobs. Well, of course. Hey, I'm being honest. I liked her attitude better. As the characters, of course.
Yeah.
So then when I found out in Orange is the New Black, seeing them boobies, I was like, oh, man, this is like Showgirls all over again. Dude, I want to see those boobies for years. And now they're right there on Netflix for me just to press a few buttons, and there they are.
Yeah.
And so I did that, and I didn't watch anything else.
Oh, boobs. Fast forward.
And boobs. Sports. Got it. Yeah. So that's not my number 24. That's your number 24.
That's my number 24. No, I just want to say I was a Donna. I was a Donna girl. I was a Donna girl.
I was a Donna girl.
In a Donna world. I was a Donna world.
Jackie. That was her name.
There you go.
Thank you.
I was a Donna boy growing up because I went through, I think as most men do, I went through a redhead phase.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So that's my number 24.
I say, oh, sure. And I don't think I did.
Well, you're stupid. Anyway.
I am just a dumb, strikingly handsome man.
Really stretching that strikingly handsome part, Steve.
A little bit.
24. Orange is the New Black. And Donna's red hair.
Donna's red hair and sweet old boobies.
That's right.
Although she doesn't have that color
she
hair.
She does have the boobs, though.
She kept the boobs, changed the hair in Orange is the New Black.
That's right.
She went the jet black, right?
That's right. She's the femme fatale. I don't know if I'm using that correctly.
I prefer the red hair on Donna.
I do, too.
So, number 23. The Shield. This is a Wes recommendation to me. Michael Chiklis in the cop drama of The Shield for seven seasons. Wifey and I went through all seven seasons within the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. I think it was the last show we sat down and just went cover to cover, you know, DVD style on it. And God damn it, if that ain't a great show, because there is something. There's so many cop shows that have been made and are currently being made.
Mm-hmm.
Right now there's like Chicago Blue, NYPD Purple, I mean, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a different thing, but also a cop show. There's still Law & Order, like 9 Law & Orders being made. Mm-hmm. There's so many cop and slightly off cop shows. All the CSIs, Bones, Castle.
NCIS. That's like just Criminal Minds or something like that.
So many. So when you find one of these shows that really does it right, and you're like, yes, like The Wire, like The Shield, they do an awesome job with a premise we are all very, very familiar with. You, cops inspecting these crimes, blurring the line of what is legal, what is not, what is right, what is wrong, mm-hmm. when can you make that choice, when can't you, and it's awesome. Very, very well acted, really intriguing storylines throughout the whole time that reward you for watching all of the seasons as you go.
Of course.
I know it wasn't released in the last 2 years, but I just discovered it in the last 2 years.
Doing this podcast.
Doing this very podcast you hear before you now.
Now, people say Michael Chiklis is the star of the show, and yes, he is a top billed name to bring people in. I will argue that the real star of that show is Walton Goggins.
I will argue the real star of that show is the writing by Kirk Sutter.
Oh, well, look at you.
Because I'm just being a dick about it.
You are in a dickful mood today, my friend.
I am a little dickish today.
You really are.
Which makes me really excited for our top 10, because I'm just going to attack.
I can't wait.
I can wait for probably about 13 more.
That's right.
But my number 23 is The Shield. If you like well-done cop dramas, go watch it. It's great. It's also on Amazon Prime, the streaming service, so do that.
My number 23 is Neil Patrick Harris's 2013 Tony opening.
Which you got from me!
That is true. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I really seriously do recommend pausing this podcast and looking it up. It's the best 7-8 minutes that you'll spend on the internet today.
It's fantastic.
Basically, a little backstory. Shia LaBeouf was supposed to host the Tonys. Backed out at the last minute, so they brought in old reliable NPH, who's always wonderful.
Always.
And he threw together this wonderful opening, bringing parts of most, if not all, of the Tony-nominated shows in the opening. It was wonderful, it was catchy, and it even had a very heartfelt moment as he's talking about how if you're a kid watching these Tonys, and your dream is to be an actor, then go for that dream, because guess what? We were that kid, too. It was awesome.
Let us not forget the magic trick that he is on stage and a puff of smoke happens. Then all of a sudden he emerges from the back of the stage, or the back of the theater, running down the aisle towards the stage like, "Hi, he's a demon!"
What you couldn't see is that the first MPH actually got dunked into a glass tank full of water, and then he was doubled, and then he was put up.
It's incredible. Yeah. Honestly, it is just a 7-ish minute piece of theatrics that is unbelievable. Whether you like, you don't have to know the shows, you don't have to like, you know, Broadway musicals, you just need to appreciate amazing art and talent, and check it out, it's awesome.
Steve, I just want to point out that we touched feet just a second ago.
Just a gentle... gentle passing touch.
Gentle brush.
Oh, you did it again right there.
Again.
You did it.
I did, on
As
purpose.
He said, like, touch, he just, bink, with his toe, with his soft, cottony toe.
Instead of your hard, calloused,
oh,
man.
Just like my heart.
Yep. All right, that's my number 23, NPH's 2013 Tony opening.
My number 22, this is very brief, but it's one of my favorite things that's ever happened on the podcast. It's been a while since we've done it, but... I feel maybe the top 10 will produce one of my favorite things that Wes and I ever do on the podcast. So I say, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
That happened almost every week for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
It's usually me saying, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Just a... I don't know why I find that so funny, but I still say it outside of the podcast, mostly just to Wes.
Yeah, yeah.
But that two-line exchange to me is always fun. Because I always know, like, you don't get nearly as riled up as I do about these things.
No.
So whenever I'm able to provoke you into it, what are you talking about? What are you talking It just it brightens my day to get you all hot and bothered.
That's right. So you are constantly hot and bothered.
Always.
So I'm cool and collected.
That's this is like the end of Avengers. That's my secret, Wes. I'm always hot and bothered. So whenever I can put the old Hulk on you and get you hot and bothered, I appreciate it. So
starting to sound pretty sexy. We should probably
move on. I mean, I was talking about your cottony toes, hot and bothered, put the Hulk on you. You know.
Yeah.
You know, sexy time.
Sexy time.
Number 22, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? My number 22 is The Wolf Among Us.
Is it Among Us or is it Among Us?
It's Among Us.
The Wolf Among Us.
It's The Wolf Humongous is what I was talking about. No, The Wolf Among Us is a Telltale game released a year or two ago based on the Fables.
Graphic novel series.
Thank you.
No problem.
Book, graphic, comic. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know.
Yes, based on the Fables, graphics, novels. What is wrong with my speech today?
Really struggling over there, huh?
I really am.
The Fables graphic novel series?
Yes.
Okay.
Telltale series. It's wonderful. I love the storytelling. And you play as the big bad wolf. I'm all thrown off because of the toes and my tongue.
This is also becoming very sexual.
That's right. But if you love the Telltale games, I strongly recommend you check it out.
Would you say it is... Where does it rank with the Walking Dead Telltale and the Back to the Future Telltale?
Ooh, Back to the Future, way down there.
Yeah, ooh, that's a cellar dweller.
Walking Dead Season 1 at the top.
Okay.
Then Wolf Among Us, then Walking Dead Season 2.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So that's my number 22.
Okay, my number 21. We're going to go back into the old Netflix well, and it is going to be when we did the Netflix review / watched for the very first and only time the movie Deathstalker.
Oh, God.
It is truly, 100% truly, one of the worst films ever made.
Yes.
It is horrible. And that's why it was so fun to talk about. My wife and I still quote the movie. There is a moment where this guy, for whatever reason, is on this torture wheel. It's like a water wheel thing, and he's on the top, and they pull the thing, and it stretches him. And he's like, ha-ha, now will you tell us about Deathstalker? And the guy, who's been tortured, presumably, for hours and days, he responds by saying, I will not! That man does not sound like he has been tortured for days and days. So every once in a while, Holly will ask me, like, hey, Steve, will you go take the garbage out? I will not! So Deathstalker has a very long, long impact on my life. And it's just so bad. And you got so mad.
Yeah, that's how I remember Deathstalker. The angriest I've ever been on anything we've ever recorded. Because you gave it a what? Like a 40-something? And I gave it, do you remember?
It's like a 4?
I gave it a 5.
A 5.
I gave it a 5.
And when we, at the end of the Netflix review, when we, you know, release our final grading of the movie.
The grading.
The gratings. And you're like, see, what do you, I don't know, like a 40? You got so mad. You're like, a 40? See, a 40? How can it? Whoa!
Steve, what you're saying is correct. But this actually happened at the very beginning, because I got so mad because just as a movie, it is so inept in everything it tries to do. And, you know, basically being a movie, it's bad at it. And you said, Wes, out of curiosity, what do you give it? I said a 5. I asked, what do you give it? You said a 45. I was like, what?
it just really, again, as I was just mentioning, whenever I can put the Hulk on you. Whenever I get you all riled up, it really just brightens my day. So Deathstalker really brightened my day in that regard. So that's why it's all the way up at my 21.
My 21, though, is something that you recommended to me, not Deathstalker. It is The Office.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
how is this a 21 if you just watched it?
Well, you know, there are some downfalls, some downtimes in The Office.
Well, Robert California.
It's good. Yeah, fantastic sitcom.
Yeah.
Would you even classify it as a sitcom?
Yes.
Or just a comedy?
Comedy.
Comedy.
That's fine.
Fantastic half-hour comedy. And the ending, the last four or five episodes, ruins it.
Why is this so far down on your list?
Because everything else is better.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is. You don't even know.
God, I fear for what we have in store. I fear for your life, Wes.
I might not make it out alive.
Had I really watched The Office in the last 2 years, it would probably be in my top three.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Well, that's because you're just... Oh, God. Moving on.
Okay.
Moving on. We already touched on it, but my number 20 is our superhero top five, the mildly annoying superpowers that we could have. As Wes mentioned in the previous podcast, it's kind of when we really started to kind of hit our groove, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I just think the stuff in that episode is really, really funny. The idea of having just superpowers to moderately annoy other people, like the just three fruit flies buzzing above someone's head, or being able to put a palm-sized wet spot on somebody,
yep.
Like in their mouth, or like on their, I don't know, on their knee, where they think their knee is wet, just weird things like that. And the best part of this podcast is when, so you would say yours, I would say mine, Dan would say his, and then we would kind of figure out some way to kind of like, as some sort of really awful X-Men group, combine our powers together. Like, I'll give him the old fruit flies, and you put the wet mouth on him. That's really one of my favorite podcasts that we have ever done. So superhero top five with Dan is my number 20.
My number 20, just beating The Office. Oh, man. The way you're looking at me right now, is Isaac's proposal on YouTube.
Ugh.
This is the one, it's the lip sync proposal where Isaac proposes to his girlfriend. We talked about it many times on here, especially during our YouTube videos podcast. He proposes to his girlfriend and he gets all of their friends and family, including a local marching band, to help him propose to his girlfriend.
To the Bruno Mars song, Hey Baby, I Think I Want to Marry You.
Yeah, exactly.
That song.
And it makes me tear up. I'll be honest. It makes me cry a little bit every single time.
Every time?
Every time.
God.
Well,
here's some news for you. It is not better than The Office.
Here's some news for you, Steve. We are different people.
That is true.
Here's also some news for you. The Office has some not good seasons. The Isaac's proposal, good every time.
Yeah, for 3 minutes.
For 3 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
If The Office is 3 minutes, it'd probably beat Isaac's proposal.
That's a very good point.
That's right.
Okay. So that brings me to my number 19. Again, not released in the last 2 years, but I just discovered it in the last 2 years. And that would be Sid Meier's Civilization V.
Mm-hmm.
That is a game that should come with a warning label on it, because it will take entire days of your life away from you. You'll sit down and be like, oh, well, I don't know. I haven't played as, I don't know, the Incas. Let's try. Thursday? It's Thursday. But I have developed gunpowder. So I think that's a fair trade for about 5 days. The game, for those who are not familiar, you start out in, you know, several thousand years B.C., and as a group of cavemen, essentially, you set up a town, you develop new technologies, and then you can fight rival factions in other towns, but you're all various world powers throughout the history of time. There's the Americans, there's the English, there is like the Shoshone Indians, there's the Chinese, the Japanese, there's all sorts of world leaders that have different strengths and powers, and you develop your civilization over years and years, whether peacefully or militarily. And there's a couple different ways to win the game, whether it is taking over the United Nations or setting up the United Nations, sending a rocket to the moon, killing everybody else. There's 100 different ways to play the game, and each time is different. And believe it or not, it takes some time to go from caveman to launching a rocket to the moon.
No.
Believe it or not, it does.
Wow.
Okay. Especially you got these barbarians just like raiding your farms.
That's right.
And then you've got the goddamn Germans coming after you.
Oh, man.
Gandhi sending nukes your way.
Oh, man, Gandhi.
Gandhi is, for those who've ever played Civ, Gandhi is the most nuke happy.
Really?
Seriously, and there's a reason why. And when they played, when they made, I think it was Civ 1 or Civ 2, they made an error when they were putting in like the rankings of the different leaders of like whether it's a 10 or a 1, like their tendency towards, you know, peace, religion, whatever. And they accidentally put Gandhi at like, it was something like a 99 for nuke. So like in the first couple games of Civ, Gandhi's like, let's be peaceful. Nukes! Like, Gandhi nukes everybody. And they've just kept, it's not quite as extreme, but they've kept him as a fairly like militarized leader, which is pretty funny.
That's awesome.
So number 19, the weekend sucking Civilization 5.
My number 19 is A Season of Mad Men, specifically Season 5. Why this one is because, no spoilers here, Mad Men, one of the best shows on TV, just ended, so it's all out there. I recommend it. Season 5, though, has some of the most heartbreaking occurrences in Mad Men as a whole. In one season, it really touches on, there's a specific storyline involving Joan that was so controversial, at least in my household. It was
the dogs were really worked up about it.
They were really worked up about it. You should see their blogs. And yeah, man, it is one of the best seasons of TV I've ever seen. So,
would you say season 5 of Mad Men is the best season of Mad Men?
Season 5, maybe season 3, or maybe I'm just remembering the final episode of season 3. For my money, right now, season 5, yes, best season.
Is that your favorite season of Mad Men, Breaking Bad, or Game of Thrones, or anything? Of the heavy hitters of the last few years?
I mean, it's up there, yeah.
Is it your favorite?
It's not at the top, clearly.
Okay, just checking.
Okay.
Just checking, okay. Seeing where it stands.
Okay.
All right, my number 18 is a specific level from a game.
Oh.
And my, honestly, what might be my number one, but we just missed it by a couple of months, and that is XCOM Enemy Unknown. I, as I mentioned several times, I love XCOM Enemy Unknown. I've beaten it a million times. I love that game. They just released a trailer for XCOM 2, which is going to be coming out this November.
Ooh.
And I'm already like, can I pre-order it right now? Right now? Can I do it now? Give it to me now. Any way I can get any of it, give it to me now.
Mm-hmm.
But they have another game called Enemy Within, which really is more of just an expansion. It's not really a brand new game. But there was a particular level in Enemy Within that you are in your XCOM base, and it is raided by the aliens. And it's a pretty long level. And you have, you know, as the other level, you have this set amount of dudes, but you also have your seasoned veterans in there, but you also have new recruits that are immediately thrown into the battle as well. So it's a multi-front battle. You're defending a space instead of taking space, which is not usually how the game is played. So it's a really cool kind of switch of strategy in the game, and really cool level. Did not see it coming, and loved it. It's my favorite part of Enemy Within, without a doubt. So I would really like to put Enemy Within on my list somewhere, but it definitely lacks in comparison to Enemy Unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular level, that's an A-plus level, dude.
Okay.
A-plus level. So that's why it sneaks in at number 18.
My number 18 is a stand-up special on Netflix. It is Mike Birbiglia, My Girlfriend's Boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
It is one of the best, if not the best, stand-up special I've ever seen. Have
really?
You seen it?
I've not seen it. My wifey has seen it. She loves it.
So most stand-up specials, I mean, they're all funny. If they're any good, they're funny. But this one, it's one of those stand-up specials that it's like, how do I want to describe this? It's like when you start watching a TV episode and something happens, like a car accident happens, or the hero is torn up and bloody, and then it's like 36 hours later, or earlier, and then like you're like, oh, what's going to happen? This stand-up special starts like that, where he starts talking about his car accident. And he's very funny. And then he starts talking about all these other things and about how his previous relationships. And he goes through, and he's super funny. I said super, Steve. I hope you don't mind.
Super!
But then it ends with him talking about his car accident and how this led to him making one of the most important decisions of his life. And it's very heartfelt. It's very emotional. And it honestly gave me chills when it came full circle. So I highly recommend this stand-up special, even for you, Steve.
And my tiny little black heart?
And your tiny little black heart.
Oh, my.
So Mike Birbiglia, my girlfriend's boyfriend.
Okay. Number 17, I'm going to the world of board games.
Ooh!
Yes, we are going into a dark, horrible world filled with zombies and abominations.
Zombie Monopoly?
It's Zombopoly!
Oh, no!
What would Boardwalk be in a zombie game?
Oh, it would have to be... I keep thinking of lame puns like Bite Walk.
Okay, well, that's awful.
Yep.
I was thinking it was going to be like a sniper tower.
Would
be the best piece of real estate. Or it'd probably be like the prison or, you know, something like that.
Or what would the mall be in Dawn of the Dead? Would that be in the red area? Maybe?
Yeah, the Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky area of the board.
Sure.
When was the last time you played Monopoly, by the way?
Years. It's been years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna give you a quiz.
Okay.
Can you tell me one of, like, the dark green spaces?
Yeah, Jefferson Avenue.
Wrong!
Okay.
No.
Nope.
No.
Great.
Nope. I can't tell you anything, but that's wrong.
Okay.
No, it's like north. There's like a Pennsylvania Avenue and a North Carolina, something
Wait,
like that.
Wait, so Jefferson Avenue could be correct.
But it's not correct.
How do you know that?
Because I know it. Because I don't think that's even one on the board, period.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about, and
do you
don't know what you're talking about.
You're absolutely correct.
My number 17 is Zombicide.
All right.
It's a board game where you are playing cooperatively with your friends.
Which is tough for you.
It is, because I'm like, get, what are you doing? But I try really hard to not yell at people on my team.
I was picturing more of like, Holly, come on. Guys, can I shoot her? Can I shoot her character?
Because, I mean, the zombies are going to get her. So if we just shoot her now, then you're going to eat the body and give us time to run away.
You'll slow them down.
Right? Yeah. Zombicide is a co-op board game, you and your buddies against the zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
It's very, very fun. You've got different amount. You get different weapons as you search through different rooms. There's different objectives. The game can change every single time you play. Mm-hmm. It's not like Monopoly where it's you open the board, you know what you need to do. Yeah. Zombicide, there's a bunch of different scenarios you can do. There are several different versions of the games, different expansions. It's a kind of a pricey board game. It's like $80-$85, something like that.
If you buy it with Monopoly money, it's pretty cheap.
To be fair, that ain't nothing. So it's a really great time with a couple of friends surviving the zombie apocalypse, because it's one of those things where, you know, I know you and I have had many, many a conversation about what if the zombie apocalypse breaks out.
That's right.
This is at least in some kind of way where you can test it out a little bit. Like, I think we should do this. Well, fine. I'm leaving you. I don't think you should leave us. Well, I'm leaving you. Ah! And you're dead. And because you're dead, now I'm dead, because I needed you. Yep. Thanks a lot, you jabroni.
Yep.
Or you can survive and be friends with people. It depends.
It's either die and call people jabronis.
Or live and call them jabronis.
Yep. Those are your two options.
So it's a fantastic board game. We've played it numerous, numerous times. Always have a good time, especially when Wes dies real early in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Really fun.
Yeah.
So if you've not yet checked it out, grab a couple friends. Maybe each of you pitch in a couple bucks. Buy a version of Zombicide and have a game night. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Number 17, Zombicide.
My number 17, and Holly, this one's for you. My number 17 is the Codex Alera.
Ooh.
Yeah, written by Jim Butcher, who people might know from the Dresden Files, that series of novels. This is his lesser-known series of novels. There's about six, I believe, about it's a high fantasy, basically, how do you even describe this? Basically, a world at war. And you start off, your main protagonist is a young boy named Tavi, short for Octavian, I believe. And everybody in the world basically has power over these furies. Think Pokemon, but really, you know, really...
midgets.
Really midgets is what I'm saying. No, but much simpler. There's, like, different kinds of Furies. Like, you know...
So are they animal-based?
They're elemental-based.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But Tavi does not have any power over these Furies. And he's the only one that he knows of that doesn't have any power over them. But as we follow him throughout these series, he gets more and more powerful and more, and his destiny becomes more and more apparent. And he starts bringing these, the world together. And then out from the ether emerges this new threat. And it's amazing. And I love it. And Holly, I know you're cheering right along with me. It's awesome. I strongly recommend checking it out.
How many books are in this series?
Six.
Six. And what's the first book?
The Furies of Calderaan.
The Furies of Calderaan.
That's right. Oh, boy. Quit strangling that chicken. So, as most fans of the podcast know, I am not the best at explaining things. But trust me, the Codex Solera, first book, Furies of Calderaan. Steve, how do you say it? Thank you. Is wonderful. And it's one of my favorite series of books that I've ever read. So there you go.
So suck it.
So suck a big one, everybody. 17, Codex Solera.
So as we said, in the last 2 years plus, we've watched a lot of things, we've played a lot of things, but also a lot of things have happened in our personal lives as well.
That's right, that's right.
One of those things is me getting married in that time.
Ugh.
But that is not...
God.
That is not... what my number 16 is.
Thank God.
My number 16 is the moment that my life hit the peak of existence.
The day before you proposed?
The day before. Oh, God, what a time. Freedom. I could have done anything. No, for my wife and my honeymoon, we went to this amazing resort in Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic.
One more time.
Punta Cana.
Punta Cana.
Punta Cana. And we got, like, the VIP treatment. We had, you know...
Ah, the VIP treatment.
We had a... You gonna let me get through this or what?
Nope.
We had a butler to bring us stuff. It was amazing. Okay. So on our little porch area, we had a hot tub. So, like, day three of being down in tropical paradise, we were down to the beach, went swimming, came back. Holly took a shower. I decided to fill up our little hot tub in our porch. And I made a vow to myself that I was going to eat lobster every single day I was there. So what did I do? I filled up the hot tub. I used the inner tube, that somebody had left that day and brought back. I threw that on top of the hot tub. I called room service. They brought me a plate of lobster and a bottle of champagne. I stripped off everything, and I sat naked in an inner tube on top of a hot tub, drinking champagne and eating lobster. That, friends, is as good as it's going to get for me. That's it. I was tan. I was slightly buzzed, eating the food of the gods, floating on water that should not be the way it is. And Holly came out, and I had the plate over my business with a full bottle of champagne. And she walked out in her robe. She took one look at me. I was like, this is it. I was like, we can go home. I don't care. It's all downhill from here.
Can't get much better than that.
That's
dude.
It, man. That is as good as life gets.
Well,
that's it.
Yup.
And that tells you how good my top 15 is. That's only number 16.
Oh, my God.
No, I didn't want to put that at number one. Because that's not quite as fun. But
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you ever have the opportunity to go into the land that God approves of, that is the Caribbean, and drink the nectar and food of the gods, by all means, please do.
Okay. Well, my number 16 does not involve nudity or lobster.
Well, then let's move right on to mine.
All right. Nudity and lobsters, my number 15. No, my number 16 is a little game called Valiant Hearts. This is one of those few games.
Really? This
yes.
High on the list.
It's awesome, dude. It's one of those, it's one of the few games that it moved me, it got me emotional, it gave me chills, and this game honestly would have been higher, except the gameplay gets pretty repetitive. It's a little too long, but it's apparently it's pretty historically accurate, and a lot of the collectibles
what
you
is,
find...
What is your basic premise of this game?
Oh, basic premise is you're playing through World War I as three different characters, an older gentleman, a younger gentleman who is fighting on the opposite side, and then the older gentleman's friend. And it is... and basically it's puzzle-solving. You can pick up one item to give to somebody else, and then, you know, that gives you this item to give someone else. And it's like you're just trying to advance. Not a lot of combat, and the combat is basically just a puzzle. So yes, it's a very fun game. Very, like I said, moving and emotional. Why I got so high on my list is because not many games make me cry.
Sure.
And this one made me cry.
Really?
Like a little girl.
Okay. That shoots it right up my list of things to play with that kind of endorsement.
Yeah. And like I said before, the gameplay does get repetitive, but it's still a good game.
But worth the journey.
It is. It is. So that's my number 16, Valiant Hearts.
Okay. My number 15, Django.
Oh, is he chained?
He is unchained.
Oh, they took his chains off.
Yeah. We decided to unchain him.
Okay.
Django... With Quentin Tarantino's work with, and specifically, I'm going to point out again, Christoph Waltz in this particular film. Mm-hmm. And actually, Don Johnson does a hell of a job.
Okay.
Former Miami Vice man, Don Johnson, hell of a job. Jamie Foxx is awesome as well. But this is honestly one of my favorite movies of the last 5 years or so.
Okay.
I love this movie. I love Quentin Tarantino. I'm a big fan. I love his ultra violence. I love his sharp dialogue. Leonardo DiCaprio is unbelievably good in this movie, and even on Leonardo DiCaprio standards, he's unbelievably good. To take a very, very hard subject, being slavery in the American South, and to make a very what seems to be truthful movie to that time, but also very entertaining, very engaging. But still obviously very difficult to watch at parts as well. I think it's way better than 12 Years a Slave, personally, but it caters more to my likes, I suppose. But mm-hmm. I think phenomenal acting performances all around. Quentin Tarantino can basically do no wrong in my book. So, and then you've got the cherry on top of Christoph Waltz, who's just great. Mm-hmm. He is just great, and I love watching him in anything that he does, especially with that Tarantino dialogue. So... Django Unchained, that's number 15 for me, man.
Awesome. Before we move to my number 15, I want to finish a point that I didn't finish earlier about Valiant Hearts. All of the collectibles they are things that are historically accurate within World War I, and you can actually open up your collectible page, and they have a nice little paragraph or two that tells some interesting facts about what that collectible is and how it related to World War I. So not only is it a fun game, moving emotional, you'll learn a little something, too.
It's educational.
It is.
The more you know.
My number 15, though, almost the exact opposite of Valiant Hearts, is Avengers 2!
Oh, my God.
Yeah! As we mentioned so many times before, Steve, kind of middling about this movie, I loved it.
There is no way this movie is better than Guardians of the Galaxy.
And there is a way, because it is. Yep. Avengers 2, man, Joss Whedon, he had an impossible task to do, and
right,
he
impossible.
Did it
and he
very
do
well.
It.
He did it very well. Don't you give me that look.
You know
I love this movie.
I know, and I'm glad you enjoy this movie. I really am. But... you're just wrong.
I'm sorry that I'm not sorry about loving it.
The things you like are wrong.
I'm sorry that you feel that way, Steve, but I am correct. It's an amazing movie, and everybody else is wrong.
That's the ticket.
That's right.
That's right.
So that's my number 15 is Avengers 2.
Well, actually, I'm glad that brings us to my number 14, which is a vastly superior movie that has also just come out. Okay. That is Mad Max.
Okay.
It is exponentially better than Avengers 2.
Okay.
So suck it. No, again, we've talked about this one fairly recently about how high I am on this movie. I really appreciate the style of film that is
without the kind of like add-on blockbuster parts of a movie. A really good example is Jurassic World this week. I know I've not seen it yet. This is not a spoiler. We're watching Jurassic World because we know the dinosaurs are going to get out, and we're going to deal with the dinosaurs. That's what we're there to see.
Yeah.
Am I correct in saying that?
I like the interplay between the humans, actually.
And that's exactly what brings me to my point. At one point, you see these two young men, these boys, and at one point, it's like, oh, mom and dad are going to get a divorce. It's like, oh, no, I'm always going to be your brother. We'll always be brothers. And it has nothing to do with the rest of the film. And it's like a four-minute scene. I was like, that is not something you find in Mad Max.
Yeah.
Mad Max says, get that shit out of here. Like, we are here for car chases. We are here for things to explode. And because we're following Mad Max and what he's going to do, we don't care about these tertiary characters that mean nothing. I enjoyed Jurassic World. I liked Avengers. Those movies have, I feel like, all these, like, hanging on bits to the main storyline that's going on that I don't care about. And Mad Max streamlines that stuff in this action-packed spectacle of a film that actually has a really great storytelling mechanic to it the whole way as well. So that, honestly, I'm surprised I don't have it even higher. But Mad Max is my number 14, the better movie than Avengers 2.
All right, well, my number 14 is Anne Hathaway's performance in Les Miserables.
Okay, for a second, I thought you were going to say Dark Knight Rises. It's like, this is it. We are officially done. We are officially over.
Anne Hathaway's performance in Rachel Getting Married. Guys, if you haven't seen Les Miserables, it's okay. You don't have to see it. But really, YouTube Anne Hathaway's performance of I Dreamed a Dream. It is heartbreaking. It'll bring you to tears unless you're a cold-hearted son of a bitch like this son of a bitch over here.
It actually brought me to tears, too. So.
Oh, it thawed your cold ice heart?
Just slightly. Just enough. It thawed it to allow one drip of tear, and then I quickly froze it back.
That's right. Yeah. It got her an Oscar, didn't it?
It did, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, if the Academy Awards gave her an Oscar, you know it's gotta be good.
It's gotta be good. See the Lego movie.
That's right. Hence the, you know, you notice the Lego movie did not make my list.
Oh, yeah, well, you are for the Academy.
I'm an Academy Awards shill.
It's because you have that Oscar tattooed on your face.
That is. Yeah, it's a drunk night in Tijuana. Anne Hathaway, Les Miserables. Heartbreaking, wonderful, and a great singer as well.
For the record, if you go to Tijuana and ask to get the Oscar tattooed on your face, you are getting another face of some dude named Oscar on your face, not the Academy Award, just for the record.
Like what? It's my friend Oscar.
Hey, say Skulker. That's how you. I tripped over my tongue.
I think I said, that is a stalker, I think is what I just said. So not only do you have some random dude named Oscar tattooed on your face, he is indeed a stalker. You have the old stalker Oscar on the face. Enjoy your time in Tijuana.
Yep, so that's why Anne Hathaway's performance in Les Mis.
It's all coming together.
It's my number 14.
I love the way that they filmed Les Mis, because I recently watched Into the Woods, mm-hmm. Another big budget musical that was filmed, and they clearly did the dubbing over, and they lip-sync along with it, whereas in Les Mis, they actually sang as they were on stage or on screen, and it provides a much more engrossing, visually, like, cohesive way to watch a musical. So
definitely,
if just something else to note when you watch Anne Hathaway in Les Miserables.
Ooh,
yeah, I busted out. I got it all the throat.
My God, are you choking on your
own? It is a stung out.
Number 13, something that's already made an appearance on your list because you're dumb. BioShock Infinite, number 13 for me. I don't. No, I know you said it because it got built up a lot before you played it, and you're stuck on the last level for your platinum trophy. I get it. The game is so good.
It is. It made my top 50 the last 2.5 years almost.
Okay, but it needs better. It needs better. Because there have been so many AAA games that have come out in the last couple of years that have glitches and the immediate downloadable content. And, like, they're broken when they ship. There's a lot of issues with, like, these games that many people want to pre-order. This game went above
and beyond what you expected. The music is possibly the greatest music I've ever heard in any video game of all time. The greatest NPC partner in video game history, without a doubt. Except for maybe one other. The storyline is incredibly engaging. I almost said super right there.
Oh,
but it's not super engaging.
Good God.
It's when you finish this game, it gives you that thought in your mind of like, what has just happened? It stays with you after you finish the game, which there are very few games that make me cry, but there are also very few games that once I finish them, I sit and think about as I'm going to bed that night or for the next several nights. I'm like, well, what if, could that have, what does that part mean now? And after you finish the game, you can replay the whole game again with a different light shed on the whole game. So it is a deep game that really makes you think. Doesn't make me cry, but it did make me think a lot. And the gameplay is tight. As I said, best NPC character of all time. Great action. Incredible game. Number 13 in the last 2.5 years. I'm almost sad this isn't higher either. But loved it. Love it.
So I was looking ahead at my list, and I knew there was going to be at least one thing that, because if you remember from last week, we said that, you know, we wrote down our 50, and then we put them as, like, you know, top, middle, and low. And then we put those aside, and we organized those into top, middle, and low, and so on and so forth until we got our list. I knew there was going to be at least one, and I'm like, oh, that should have been a lot lower. And we hit it with number 13. So my number 13 is Marvel's Agent Carter. Now,
what?
Calm down.
What?
Calm down.
I'm getting real mad here.
I know. Calm down. It was a mid-season filler for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And to be fair, I loved it. I loved every second of it. It told a wonderful story. It had great characters. And there was not, well, I about to say there's not a second that is wasted. Or I'm sure that you could find a few minutes, a few scenes here and there that could have gone out. But I loved every minute of it. I fully enjoyed it. You're giving me the biggest glare in the world right now as you open a beer.
Daddy's getting ready to beat you.
Wait, so who
does this follow?
It follows Peggy Carter from Captain America.
Yeah, the brunette with the huge boobs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm already on board. But you are so up in Marvel.
I am. I'm up their ass.
This is somehow better to you than Guardians of the Galaxy? How is this better than The Office? What is wrong with you?
Agent Carter has only been 8 episodes, and they were all great. The Office has 9 seasons, hundreds of episodes, and
90% of them are excellent.
I was going to say 30% of them are meh.
So 70% of them are amazing.
Yeah, but 100% of the episodes of Agent Carter are amazing.
Yeah, sometimes you got to give it up for quantity as well.
Steve, I'm not going to argue with this.
I would rather have 70 awesome episodes and 30 where you go, as opposed to 7. Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. Is this filler? This is good filler. I like this filler here.
What are you talking about?
Did you not just say it is a filler show?
It's a mid-season filler show.
Right, so it's a filler show.
No, it's not.
It's exactly what you just said.
No, it's a mid-season... I don't know what else to call it, but it's not a filler show.
Well, because it's funny, because you just said it was a filler show.
I don't know what else to call it.
That's because it's a filler show.
But as a show, it's all killer, no filler.
Oh, God.
Yep. And one of the great aspects about it, it follows Peggy Carter, who we all know is a badass, in that era where it's misogynistic, chauvinistic men.
I am not over it's all killer, no filler. You didn't even say it's all killer, no filler. You said all killer, no filler.
Excuse me, say walk away.
Ugh. Moving on.
Yes.
I can't even talk about this anymore.
My number 13 should be lower is Agent Carter.
Oh, no. My number 12.
I know exactly how that happened, too.
My number 12 is the bounty of emails that we have received over the last 2+ years.
Okay.
And specifically, we received an email from a listener in Germany.
That's right.
And that was such a cool moment to me.
Because you didn't realize they had the internet in Germany?
I was like, good for Germany! Hey, well done with your dial-up modems out there. Despite the fact Germany in many, many ways is a better country than ours, but that's for a different...
You don't need to pander to Germany
here.
That's
for a different
time. We got one listener.
But I love the fact that we get a bunch of emails from a whole bunch of different people from presumably around the country. But there's just something really cool about kind of the realization of the world and the times that we live in, that we're just two dudes sitting here arguing about Guardians of the Galaxy into a microphone. And then you have a gentleman from halfway across the earth. He's like, hey, by the way, I've been listening to you dumbasses, and I have something to say about it, too. It's like, hey, cool, man. Like, we live in this spoiled for choice world that we could finish this podcast today and we could spend the next 7 days watching and playing and listening to a different thing every hour, and we'd still have a million more things to watch, play, and listen to. Mm-hmm. And to just be part of it and have feedback from people about all of these things that we all kind of like together, it's really amazing. And that was the moment to me. I'm like, wow. Like, this, not that we have this hugely popular podcast, but we can talk to some people in some different places, man. Like,
I looked at the podcast charts, and it's WTF, Nerdist, then Us.
So, I mean, not enormously popular,
yeah,
but doing pretty good.
Yeah, all right.
So, we'll say it, of course, at the end, but we love to hear from you guys, whether you are from Chicago, New York, or in, you know, now internet-friendly Germany. So if you're out there listening in a different place, I'd love to hear you guys check in. It's just,
sure.
I think it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
So that's my number 12.
It's like this web is worldwide.
Almost. Now that Germany's involved.
This brings me to my number 12, which just barely beat out Agent Carter. Is Carl the
Winslow?
Carl Winslow. No, it's Carl and Jen's final dance at their reception. We talked about this.
Carl and our very good friend, our former college roommate, Carl, yes, and his now wife.
Our former good friends, our current college roommate, Carl and Jen's. They got married, obviously. At the reception, we told a story in the podcast. I'm going to sum it up as best I can. So the last song was Piano Man. And,
Billy Joel.
And as if on cue, quick side note, this is one of those moments where it feels like it should happen in a movie.
Yeah, or I think it was, you said it at the time, if you see this in a movie, like, pff, bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't happen.
Exactly. Trust us, it happened. So the final song at this reception was Piano Man, and as if on cue, a car alarm started going off outside. As if on cue, everyone hooked their arms around their neighbor's shoulders. Didn't matter if you knew them or not. And everyone formed a huge circle and around the dance floor. Started swaying. Pretty soon, Carl grabbed Jen. They went into the middle of everybody and started dancing. And of course, Jen just got married. Started crying.
Tears of joy.
Tears of joy. Carl, drinking a beer probably at the time.
No, he was touched by it as well.
Sure, sure. And then the last verse and chorus, Carl looks at all of us like, come join us on the dance floor. And we all split up into couples. And then we all started crying and swaying to the music. And it was emotional and uplifting and heartfelt and wonderful.
Yeah, one of those moments that, you know, they have everybody they love in the world surrounding them and just giving them, you know, the greatest, you know, feelings and, you know, that they can possibly put towards them, just this great moment of love, and then it became this community moment. It was fantastic.
It was great. It was great.
That's a very good pick, Wes.
Thank you.
I will not call you stupid for that one.
Oh, my
God. But, man, it is just slightly better than Agent. I mean, just...
just barely.
A hair better. Actually, this one touches on my emotions as well, and I could go on about this for hours and hours and hours, but I'll keep it very brief. My number 11...
Sports... Again.
I just love the sports. What I love more than sports is my dog, Luna.
Oh.
I got my dog in the last 2 years. And something we've talked about before is, you know, dealing with like seasonal depression. Not like super depression stuff, but you know, like
no, seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah, you get. I was particularly susceptible to it as well, and you know, and just getting mad, this whatever, as you may have experienced from time to time. But when I come home and I see my pooch there, and she's super excited to see me, it's like nothing matters besides that to me at that point. Like, and I love my wife very, very much, but it's a very different relationship that a man has with his dog because.
Is it though?
It is slightly different.
Okay.
Slightly different. My dog loves me above all other things.
Slightly different. I don't sleep with my wife.
This is getting off the rails. I'm trying to be sentimental about my dog. My dog keeps me in a much better place at all times. It makes me so happy all of the time to have my dog. And it's just like, it's kind of a, if my wife is like one of the, you know, the rocks of my foundation of me being who I am, honestly, my dog is probably another, like my other one, because those two combined keep me where I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And in two very different ways, but both very, very important. And I love my dog so, so much. So my dog Luna is my number 11.
Okay. Very sentimental. It's weird for you.
It is weird for me. It's very true.
I don't know what to do now.
I'm going to cry.
Oh, God, your cold black heart. Suck that tear back up. Thank you. My number 11 is a game called The Last of Us.
I hate you.
Why? What are you talking about?
Why is it here?
Why is it here?
Because the rest are better.
No.
Yes.
Wait, what number is The Last of Us?
11.
No.
Yes.
No.
Steve, it's my list.
Then we're holding off till we get it to on mine.
All right.
My number 11, The Last of Us.
God, why don't you like the right things?
In the right order.
God. My number 10
is The Last of Us.
Is The Last of Us. That's where that belongs. No, my number 10 is a top 5 we did that is our celebrity get out of jail free card. Basically, it is your top 5 celebrity hookups. You know, if you somehow end up in, you know, Hollywood and you've got your get out of jail free card with your wife/girlfriend. Like, look, baby, I love you. I love you so much, but all of a sudden Kate Upton was like, "Hey, let's have sex." And I was like, "Well, you're on my list, so let's do it." And I'm scot free. And one of my favorite moments is when, like, "Hey, my number 3, as much as I hate to say it, it's Kim Kardashian." And I was like, "Wes, are you aware that Kim Kardashian is about 7.5 months pregnant right now?" You're like, "Oh,
no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy."
But I just really enjoy thinking about
me having sex with pregnant women.
Big pregnant woman. No, it's a fun list. You know, it's a conversation I know we've had with friends several times of, you know, who's your celebrity crush? Who's the this? Who's the that? Because to me, it's just such an unrealistic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so dumb at its core.
Yeah.
But I just love that conversation.
Sure.
So I love doing that top 5.
Okay.
And I believe we had Katie Utterback on that. Sorry.
Oh, God.
We did have Katie on that, right?
We did.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, you're fine, dude. Whatever. 327, let's say.
And we also had a lady's perspective on that. We had Katie come on
mm-hmm.
for her view of the gentleman callers she would like. Because she is, you know, a belle from the South in the 20s.
Oh, these gentleman callers.
And I think we decided that the two of you are going to have a threesome with Don Draper / John Hamm.
Yep, because we argued over that one.
That's a very fun conversation to have with friends, and it's a very fun podcast that we did before. So
that's right.
Check out the Celebrity Get Out of Jail Free podcast.
Also on that podcast, didn't make my list though, her number 5 was Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes.
Which was your number 1.
Which, what's with people stealing my stuff?
I don't know.
But it's obviously way hotter for Katie to have that at 5 than me to have her at 1.
I totally agree.
Agreed.
But my number 10 is the season of True Detective. Should it be higher? Higher on my list?
It is higher on my list, but it's just slightly higher, so we can discuss it now.
Okay, can we discuss it now?
We can finally discuss
it. You're not going to throw a goddamn fit about it?
I won't.
Okay.
A big one.
All right. True Detective. We had a massive, almost argument about True Detective on one of our first podcast on oneofus.net, I thought Matthew McConaughey was so good in the season of True Detective that he beat out Bryan Cranston's acting performance
in the
fifth season of Breaking
Bad. Said I wasn't going to throw a fit, and now I'm throwing a fit!
In the fifth season of Breaking Bad, Bryan Cranston was not as good as the first season True Detective Matthew McConaughey.
No, that is a goddamn sham-mockery. Matthew McConaughey, very good. Not arguing that.
He's more than very good. He is exceptional.
We are looking at the greatest television acting performance by Bryan Cranston over a series of years.
But have you seen Agent Carter?
You mean number 13, Agent Carter? So getting away from that particular discussion,
yes.
This is a phenomenally written and executed show. Is it? It's 10 episodes.
Or 8.
It was 8 to 10. It's not a full, 13/20 episode season.
Can you imagine a 22 episode season of True Detective?
I can't. It is way too much.
Yep.
But they take a very serious toned show. They're like, we're going to do it in this many episodes. It is this story. This is the story we are telling. There's not going to be this extra, setting it up for season 2 and this. It's this story. And it's very rarely do I watch a show where I watch it that week. I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to talk to everybody about it this week. And then we can't wait to talk about it next week when it shows. And we were talking about it on every day in between the shows. What do you think this? Could it be that? Could it be this? One of those shows that kind of grasps the psyche of people and brings people in. And it was a really fun show to be a part of while it was on the air as well.
Yes.
And season 2 is coming up shortly.
That is true. Colin Farrell, Taylor Kitsch, Rachel McAdams, and who else? Vince Vaughn?
No, isn't it? I thought the girl from Mad Men is in it, isn't it?
No, it's Rachel McAdams.
Oh.
Wait. It's definitely not the one from Mad Men.
I thought I heard through the grapevine at one point that
January Jones?
No. No X-Men making an appearance here.
No, the reason True Detective is still in my top 10.
Elizabeth Moss.
She might be in it, but it's not the one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
The reason why True Detective is my number 10 is because I was one of those people that was kind of meh about the ending. It didn't strike me as hard as it did some other people.
Yeah.
Or as good as it did other people, I should
sure.
say. Sure.
I think that's, but that's a show that I enjoy. I enjoyed the journey to get to the end. And I feel like sometimes we put too much emphasis on the endings of things.
Sure. And
that's a belief. Sure.
But I was, it's not like I didn't like the ending. Even if the ending of Breaking Bad is perfect, but it's still, nothing crazy happens, what I mean?
It
seems so out of place of what we've set up before. And it was just weird, and I was just meh about it.
Okay, I can understand that. But that doesn't knock it down any places for me, because, I feel like we put too much emphasis sometimes on the ending of things.
Sure.
And sometimes we got to enjoy the journey to get to the end, I suppose.
Sure.
So that was actually my number 5, but that's fine. I'm glad we discussed it now.
Good.
So my number 9 is a genre of film I rarely delve into, but it is The Conjuring, a horror movie.
Ooh, yeah.
Again, we talked about this before that I feel like horror movies are the most severe in their how good they are. There is a very small cream of the crop horror movies. And then the drop off from a really good horror movie to a not so good horror movie, it is this huge drop. Like it's really good or it's pretty rough. This is one of those really, really good horror movies. And when one of those movies again, when that catches you just right and you let yourself kind of buy into that world and really allow yourself to start to get scared and feel what the characters are feeling, it's honestly, I think it's one of the hardest things to do in film or television is create that atmosphere that people actually buy into. And The Conjuring absolutely got me with that. Sparse use of CGI, and it felt very natural in the film itself.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of practical effects, just good storytelling. And I think it's probably the best horror movie I've seen in, I don't even know, in years and years and years.
Sure.
It's one of those ones where you finish watching it, you crawl into bed, and you sit there, you go, maybe we should cut a little bit closer tonight. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do we want to leave the closet light on while we go to sleep? And has a couple of good jump moments, a couple of just long building, you know, scares throughout the whole movie. I've seen it twice, and it scared me both times.
Oh, yeah.
And we had, again, another movie where I saw it the first time with my wife. We had a really great experience watching it. And then you and I watched it together as well with the ladies, and another really good, just like kind of communal watching experience. Because as I previously mentioned, my dog Luna, she at one point in the movie, we were so, all of us were so tense from this building action towards the end of the movie that my dog Luna didn't know why everyone was really tense and upset.
Yeah.
So she kept looking at everyone like, why is everyone mad? Like, so she crawled into my wife's lap and just like hugged her. Like, so Luna is shedding on my wife because she doesn't understand why everyone's so upset. Like, it was a great, great experience, great movie. If you like horror movies, I highly, highly recommend it. It's probably the best horror movie I've seen in years. Mm-hmm. So The Conjuring, making the top 10.
My number 9, and you're going to hate this, my number 9 is The Walking Dead Seasons 4 and 5. Now,
I don't hate it. I don't hate that, necessarily. Because I've not seen them because I gave up after 3.
Sure. But apparently, right when you gave up was when it started getting phenomenal. Because it honestly has been some of the best storytelling I've seen on TV. Especially in the zombie genre, which, for my money, has been played out over and over again.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This is, yeah, just, some people are very meh about the back 8 of season 4. I really loved them. For me, everything about these two seasons worked. And in fact, the last 8 episodes of season 5 was some of the best episodes of television I've seen.
Wow.
So.
High praise.
I know. I know. I have not read the graphic novel, so I don't know how far or how close they are to them.
Yeah.
But for me, I loved them, and I could not wait to watch them every single week.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate, you know, I really feel like they kind of dropped the ball at the end of 3, and the reason I felt that way is because I read the graphic novels.
Mm-hmm.
But I am willing to go back, because I think there was a lot of good things going on in that show, and I'm glad that it seems to me that most people agree that it has, that 4 and 5 are strong seasons for the most part. So I will go back.
Sure.
I'm not opposed to taking another trip down zombie lane with The Walking Dead.
And you know I'm a sucker for anything fantasy or sci-fi, so.
Yeah.
Always kind of trumps any cop stuff.
You say any what stuff?
Cop stuff.
Cop? Okay.
What'd you think I said?
Nothing.
Okay.
Number 8. I don't even know how to say the title of it appropriately, but I'm pretty sure it's Ip Man.
Ip Man.
Ip Man?
I don't know. I just swallowed my own voice.
I don't. It's IP Man. Okay. That's the one. We did a Netflix review about this.
Mm-hmm.
But this was one of the... We're not watching a crappy movie and breaking it down. We're watching an awesome movie and lifting it up even higher. The movie is incredible. Again, I've kind of picked a couple of the high points of a certain genre of the in my top 10 here. And like Conjuring, the best horror movie of years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Ip Man is the best martial arts based movie that I've seen in years. And the storyline, very engaging. Again, this is, I don't know if it's a Japanese film or a Chinese film. I'm not sure.
Watch out. It might be Indonesian.
It could be Indonesian. No one knows.
Nobody
for sure.
knows. And no one will tell us.
There's no way to tell us. it's basically when Japan invaded China and took over them for a while, and this one man's struggle to kind of remain off to the sidelines and not use his ferocious kung fu powers against the Japanese overlords.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, he does, and there is almost nothing as rewarding as that moment in a movie. This happens with Yoda as well when it's the peaceful dude that's like, no, I don't want to fight. I do not want, do not push me to fight. I will not fight. And then you see just a little glimpse of like, I told you, I don't want to fight.
Yeah.
And then that switch gets flipped. And dude's like, well, I warned you. And now, whoa! And just unleashes this unholy power upon other people. And Ip Man has some great fight scenes where it's him versus, I think, 13 dudes. And he beats the shit out of all of them after the switch gets flipped. It's great.
It is.
So if you like the just a little bit of karate, if you like some kung fu, if you have a passing interest in it, please watch this movie. It is great.
It is great. And that fighting style is what? Wing Chun?
Wang Chung? Everybody Wang Chung tonight?
I think that's what it is.
It is Wing Chun. Yes.
Okay, yes. Very good, very good. My number 8 is... Remember how I'm all up Marvel's ass?
I'm familiar.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2 finale.
Oh, specific.
Specific episode, because it honestly, it is now in my top 5 finales. I don't know where, but it's either in my top 5 finales of all time, or it's just right outside. It was that good. Action-packed, dramatic moments, even some heartbreaking moments as well.
Where does it fall in the Marvel world? Like, is it leading up to Captain America 2? Is it...
It was just after non-specific? Age of Ultron.
Oh, it's after Age of Ultron.
Yeah, this just concluded a month or so ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It did everything right. It wrapped up all the storylines of that season wonderfully with a pretty pink bow. And you know how much I love pink bows.
I love bows, man, especially pink ones.
Oh, yeah, love it. And then it set up a bunch of other mysteries for the next season. It was great. It was a magnifique, if you will.
I won't, thank you.
But I will. It was magnifique. Mwah, delicioso.
Do you see, after a few seasons now of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., do you think Daredevil has a better forecast, if you will? Or going forward, do you think a show like Daredevil is better? Or do you think that focuses on a character in maybe a more dark way? Or a more, it's not quite the word I want to use, but like a pandering kind of show of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that has to pander to like Age of Ultron and Captain America, like a more incorporating show, I suppose.
Oh, interesting. First of all, Daredevil and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are two totally different shows. Daredevil is dark and gritty and, like you said, all about one person. This is an ensemble show, and it's lighter, it's more fun, certainly has dark moments, but as a whole, it's very light. So it's really just a matter of opinion, and they do have to stay beholden to the movies of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but except for Captain America 2, they don't really have that much to do with the show.
They don't really tie in that much?
Yeah.
Okay.
They mention it, and maybe they'll have an episode or two where they have to deal with some fallout. But really, most of the time, not even that.
Okay.
So
Daredevil's on your list way back when. So obviously you prefer the lighter ensemble show.
I do. I do. Daredevil, again, I just finished it, by the way. It is a great show.
Do you think, I guess my question is, do you think Daredevil, like 3 seasons in, would be better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 3 seasons in?
It would be a better show, objectively. But, again, I like the lighter, fun stuff. So it would... If Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. continues in its level of quality, I'll probably still like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. more.
Got it. My number 7, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Ooh, a great one.
Thank you, Wes.
Yes.
Finally, some goddamn sense coming out of your mouth. Last Week Tonight is, you know, it's kind of the newest version of, I guess, like the Daily Show kind of thing, that satirical, political humor. It's on HBO. John Oliver, of course, from the Late Show.
Daily Show.
Daily Show, pardon me. I think his particular take on the news, his delivery of it, is the most enjoyable of this style of new, if you want to say news program, satirical, comedic news program, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it is the most cutting. I think it is the funniest. It's my favorite, because I like The Daily Show, but I love Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Yeah.
Because
they don't have to pull their punches on HBO.
It's on HBO. I mean, they do what they want. They've got a good-sized budget. The writers are phenomenal. And I love his... I just said like and love at the same time. I was like, I love his... love his particular delivery on these issues. And he shines a light on not just current political issues that are going on. And, you know, President Obama this week said this. Let's make fun of him. Or, you know, this week in the Middle East... It's issues that I wouldn't necessarily even think about, like our collapsing infrastructure. He talks about the corruption in FIFA, which has been a huge deal in the last couple weeks. John Oliver did a story about it, you know, 2 months ago, about how outrageously corrupt FIFA is, and then a follow-up episode with all this stuff going on. So it's really kind of cutting comedic journalism, and I love it. I think it's expertly done. I think it's this kind of comedy at the highest level, and I applaud that. So
a great half hour on YouTube is his show where he has an interview with Edward Snowden.
I've not seen that one, actually.
Yeah, yeah. That's his name, right? Ed Snowden?
Edward Snowden, yeah.
Yes, that's right. For some reason, I was thinking John Snowden because of John Stewart, John Oliver.
And John Snow.
John Snow. John Snow.
John Snow. You know nothing, John Snow.
That's right. It's a great episode. Look it up when you get home.
There's a really great moment. One of my favorite episodes he does is about the corruption in FIFA. And then with all the arrests that were happening in FIFA in the last couple of weeks, he then does a follow-up on that. So FIFA Part 2. Mm-hmm. And I know you're not a big sports guy, but they just did the World Cup in Brazil this last year. Stay with me for 1 second.
So Brazil wore a cup.
That's it. The important thing is they built these multi-million dollar stadiums. They used it for like 2 matches, and they've never been used again.
Great.
So John Oliver cuts this news where this woman is saying, the stadiums are really just a parking lot for these buses now. And John Oliver cuts away. He goes, they literally paved paradise and put up a parking lot. It's like, John Oliver!
For the win!
God, you're so good! Like, I laughed for like 3 straight days about it. I thought it was so funny and so smart. But that is why Last Week Tonight is number 7.
Well, my number 7, sir, you're going to hate this one. My number 7 is being the best man at your wedding.
Aww.
Oh, yeah.
No.
This was especially, let me just say out there, if you've ever been a best man, being a best man was better than yours, because I got to see, just kidding, by the way.
No, seriously, it was way better.
But it was really cool because I've known Steve for 10 years, been my best friend almost immediately since upon meeting him, and I've known his wife Holly for 20 years. So it was really cool to see 2 of my oldest friends and best friends get married to each other. And not only did I get to see that and staying with him at his wedding, it was also in Vegas.
Yes.
And writing the best man speech, which you just did,
yes,
was interesting as well.
Yeah.
And
it's tough, man.
It is tough. But
you knocked it out of the park.
Well, stop.
No, stop.
But keep going.
But seriously, please.
But yes, being there, giving the best man speech, standing with you at your wedding, making sure to hand you the ring at the right time.
Well done, by the way.
Thank you. It was really awesome. It was really cool.
Well, thank you, Wes.
Of course.
That's why See, again, wrong spot, dude. I had my marriage at number 15. A little high on the marriage, Wes.
Yes.
But thank you.
You only made number 7.
My number 6, this is
you barely beat Agent Carter.
I mean, that show must be pretty good.
That's right.
My number 6 is a personal story that I'm pretty sure I told you, but I'm going to tell you one more time, because this is honestly one of my favorite things I've seen, period, mm-hmm. over the last 2 years. I thought this was hilarious. I'll give you the Cliff's Notes version. We went to this, it was my wife and my brother-in-law and I, we went to this summer fest thing. It was like an Oktoberfest. So we bought a beer, bought one of the, you know, like a schnitzel, and we turned the corner. Because German, it's Oktoberfest, baby.
A schnitzel and a shih tzu.
That's what we have, dogs eating schnitzels, you know.
That's right.
We turn the corner and see these 2 7-year-old kids towering above everybody else.
Yes.
And we're like, what? And we realize that they're holding pugel sticks like American gladiators. And we walked over, and that's exactly what it was. They're pugel stick fighting. They're basically on top of this bounce house floor, essentially. So if you fall off, you're not going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. These kids are like 7 years old, you know, 56 pounds, and the pugel stick weighs 25 pounds. So they're throwing the pugel stick and their entire body at one another. And we're having a beer, and we're like, man, wouldn't it be amazing if us 20-something/30-year-olds could get up there and fight? And then, as if on cue, a 20-something-year-old dude and his girlfriend step up on top of the podium to begin fighting with pugel sticks. However, this guy is wearing a luchador mask, and his girlfriend is this rail-thin, tiny girl. And he gets up there, and this guy is clearly smashed. And he's pumping the pugel stick in the air over his head like a Tuscan Raider. He's like, yeah! And I tell my wife, I was like, God, wouldn't it be hilarious if he just blasts her in the face with this thing? So the girl says, begin. And the guy, you know, you're supposed to hold your hands kind of like by each end, like, so you have dexterity on both sides of the pugil stick. Mm-hmm. The dude turns his body, slides his hands together like a baseball bat, and just uppercut swings her straight to the face. And she goes flying off the podium. And you hear an audible, oh, as she goes soaring through the air. And like, and I know I wasn't the only person to say, wouldn't it be hilarious if he just blasts her? And we're all like, oh my God, he actually did it. And then immediately he puts the pugil stick over his head again. He's like, yeah! Girl comes back up. She shakes it off like a champ.
Yeah.
Gets right back up. They begin round two. And the guy, instead of going for the uppercut swing, he goes for the straight-on jab to the vagina.
Yep, the old vag jab.
You old vaggy jabby. Pushes her right off again. And at this point, the audience is like, dude, what? You hear, like, a couple guys like, boo! And, of course, he's like, yeah! Like, dude has no concept that he is domestically abusing his girlfriend in front of everybody. And then the girl comes back up and kind of, like, gently hits the guy, and he takes a dive. But just this, seeing a drunken dude wearing a luchador mask fulfill all of his American Gladiator dreams in front of everybody was phenomenal. It was so funny and spot on. It couldn't, again, one of those things where you would see it in some sort of comedy and you'd be like, I mean, it's funny in the movie, but that never happens. Oh, it happens, friends. It happens. So my number six, which honestly could be number one. All of these could be number one.
Yeah.
Is the Luchador Beatdown.
Well, my number six is a show I've talked about so many times on here. It is The Americans.
You love The Americans.
I love The Americans. Dude, talk about all killer, no filler. Three seasons in, it is still phenomenal. And each season, they keep upping the stakes. First season, well, actually, for those of you who have not heard of The Americans, where have you been, first of all?
You're dumb.
It's set in the 80s, and it's about this American family, but the parents, played by Matthew Reese and Carrie Russell, are actually KGB spies.
What?
Yeah, they were sent there by the Soviet Union to infiltrate America and be spies.
America
and be spies and to pose as an American family. So even their children do not know that their parents are spies. Fascinating. Amazing. First season, great. Second season, even better because they had kind of a big bad storyline. Third season, even better with the family drama gets upped with even more spy stuff happening.
What?
It is a great show. If you haven't seen it, Steve looking at you, what are you doing? Get out there, be somebody, and watch The Americans.
I'm watching luchadors beat women in the face with pugil sticks, okay?
I wish I could say that was in The Americans, but I cannot. So my number six is The Americans.
All right, my number five.
Broaching the top five.
I know. My number five, we've already broached it.
Okay.
It is True Detectives, which we just talked about.
It's broached.
So I'm going to go ahead and say my number five is True Detectives.
My number five is a little video game you might have heard of called GTA 5. I love me some open world games.
Yeah.
And this, the biggest, the best GTA to date. Not only can you just spend hours in that world and do anything you could possibly want in a video game, within reason, it tells one of the best stories I've seen in a video game. And plus, the world... The world is so huge. My PS3 was smoking because the world was so huge. It couldn't handle how huge the world was.
No, it is an excellent game.
It's a technological marvel.
It is. It truly is.
I'm getting excited.
It's one of these games that, again, there's... Everybody loves GTA, unless you hate the concept of GTA and, like, just the violence on screen, then there's no use talking to you about it anyway.
Yeah.
Everyone who's played GTA knows GTA is just great. It's just great.
It's just great.
It's just great. It's one of those things that's so good, you're like, hey, do you love GTA? Yeah, me too. Okay.
Great talking to you.
Great. Good.
Great. Beat up my girlfriend on this
platform. I gotta go smack her in the face with a pugil stick. I'll be back. I just played GTA. I know I can do it. That's a good pick, man. There's the heists are fantastic.
And the heists.
Trevor is one of the best characters in video games of, ever, really. He's a very fascinating character. And the way he works in conjunction with the other guys is just great. It's just great.
My number five, GTA 5.
Fair. Very fair. My number four, I said that Ip Man is the best kung fu / action movie.
By the way, I don't think you've said the title the same since you've seen the movie.
Yeah, I'm trying to say it different every time to cover all of my bases.
Okay.
But I do know how to say number four, and it is The Raid.
Oh, yeah. Now, what country is this from, Steve?
This is from Mongolia. Where's it from? Barbados?
Yeah, it's from Trinidad and Tobago.
Tobago? Tobago? The Raid is, again, as I've mentioned numerous times, I love the straight shooting action movie. Forget all the extra bullshit.
Yep.
This is what we're doing. And The Raid has the most intense hand-to-hand fight scenes I think I've ever seen in a film, period. Mm-hmm. Particularly, there is a fight scene where our hero has a police baton in one hand and a knife in the other, and just has an onslaught of dudes come after him and just decimates them in some of the most visceral and rewarding ways ever seen on film. I love The Raid. I love The Raid to the point that I saw it and I was like, oh my God. This movie is incredible. The next day, I watched it again by myself. And I think later that week, I had friends over to watch it again. I have owned it for like 2 months. I think I've watched it 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
I love The Raid.
Mm-hmm.
It is the best action I've seen in a movie in as long as I can possibly remember. As in like a martial arts style fighting action movie. It is the bar. Mm-hmm. Everything else, in my opinion, tries to live up to that in some way.
Sure.
It's awesome. Okay. I love The Raid. I know it's older than 2 years, but I just discovered it. After years and years of recommendations, I finally watched it, and oh my God.
Quick question. Marantau, if I'm saying that right, was recommended to you, and you bought it.
I did buy it.
Have you seen it?
I have not seen it yet.
Okay.
I've had some things on the plate, and I haven't had a chance to dedicate the time I want. I want a good viewing experience.
Sure.
For Marantau? Marantau?
We'll never know.
No one knows. If I can't say Ip Man, I can certainly not say Marantau.
Okay. So your number four was?
The Raid, baby.
My number four, God, dude, my number four, one of the best seasons of TV ever. And yes, it is the highest season on my list is Breaking Bad season 4.
Yes.
It's great.
It is great.
If you guys don't know, if you guys haven't seen Breaking Bad, what the hell are you doing?
Seriously, stop. Just stop.
Just
get out of here.
Just stop.
Go ahead. Pour yourself a stiff drink. Think about what you've done and then watch Breaking Bad.
Yep. Breaking Bad. A big bad storyline with Gus, and it's just wonderful.
That is probably the best season, would you say, of
Breaking Bad? Definitely.
Which is tough, because Breaking Bad is just so good.
Oh, it's always good, man.
It's just so good.
The only one I could put higher than that is maybe the first season, because you get to see this mild-mannered dude start to become a mess kingpin. So, yeah, but number four for me is the best.
I realize that, we'll talk about it in a bit. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Okay.
So number three for me, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
Don't you make that face at me, you son of a bitch.
Are you sure that it beat Agent Carter?
I've never been more sure of anything in my life.
All right.
We've talked about it quite a bit on the podcast about how you, again, had very high expectations, and I had very low expectations going into the movie. But I was blown away by this movie. Again, this all-encompassing world we live in that is the Marvel Universe, that is in everything. And this movie came in just such a fresh breath of air that was, injected into the whole Marvel Universe. I didn't feel like there was this I don't know, this greater thing going on. Like, it was these characters in this moment learning to work together. The voice acting by Bradley Cooper is so incredibly good. And yep. the CGI of Rocket is so incredibly good. How emotional that little raccoon face is. Groot is obviously one of the best characters there is. And then again, we got Chris Pratt in there, baby.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt, that is like ideal Chris Pratt to me. He's fine in Jurassic World. He's great in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's a perfect cast for cast. He's perfectly casted in that role. And I was so just enveloped in the movie as I watched it. Maybe it's kind of like Avengers 2, that I just was swept up in the world of Guardians of the Galaxy. But I've gone back. I've watched it with my mom. I've watched it again with my wife. And it's just a great, fun movie that's not too heavy. It's got great action. It's got a good, heartfelt storyline in there as well. Amazing comedy. And that is probably the best part of the whole movie, is that it captures my favorite part of the entire Marvel Universe, is these really great comedic moments that are usually hit on point. And Guardians of the Galaxy just knocks them out of the park. They're so funny. The yep. moments that are supposed to be funny are so funny.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved Guardians of the Galaxy. It is probably, no, take that back. Behind Avengers 1, it is my favorite Marvel anything.
Sure. And as we talked about many times before, I got talked up so much it could not possibly lived up to the expectations. And I walked out almost the exact opposite of how I walked in. We pretty much switched sides
yep.
on our way out. And after rewatching it, I've seen the movie at least 4 or 5 times. So I do like it a lot. But just that, it just didn't hit as much for me as everybody else.
Okay, well, you're just a dummy.
Okay, that's obviously what I was saying. So my number 3 is the Justified series finale.
I know you're a big fan, man.
I love Justified, and granted, it has had its downswings with its 5th season. And in fact, the middle of this last season, I was kind of worried about it because it was dragging a bit. But the last 2 or 3 episodes, prime Justified. The action, the humor, the writing, the acting, everything was hitting it was turned up to 11. And the series finale was a perfect bookend for the series, because not only did it wrap everything up very satisfyingly, it even had some throwbacks to the pilot episode. So it literally bookended the series. It is one of the best, if not the best, series finale I've seen. I think it's right under 6 Feet Under series finale for me. It is great. And
how many seasons again were there in Justified?
6.
6, okay.
Justified, it's an interesting show. If you guys want to pick it up, I recommend it. But each season, it's like they have 8 or 9 episodes of great, meaty stuff. But they have 13 episodes to fill. So there's like 2, 3, maybe 4 episodes in the middle that it kind of drags. But the beginning and the endings of all but the 5th season are great.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. To my number 2.
The top 2 of the last 2 years and 4 months. Steven, what is your number 2?
Well, to take the wind out of my sails, you already mentioned it.
Oh, was it Agent Carter?
It is Agent Carter.
I knew it.
It is The Last of Us.
Oh, okay.
It is.
That high?
Yeah. When we said top things, it was honestly the first thing that came to my mind.
That's so interesting, because I always thought you would put BioShock Infinite above The Last of Us.
No, I clearly have not. I think The Last of Us is a cleaner, more dynamic story that is mm-hmm. being told.
Mm-hmm.
I think the gameplay is tighter in The Last of Us, and it has had a longer lasting impression on me than BioShock Infinite has, which is an excellent game in its own right as well. The simplicity of the relationship between our two main characters, Ellie and Joel, those two, that relationship, I don't think has ever been seen in the medium of video games before.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they tell the story of those two together also had not been seen before. And it's truly one of those like revolutionary games, in my opinion, that it's going to change the way games are made after it's done. And I've, every time I go back and see a screenshot of it or play a part of it, or I'm like, God, this, every single time, this game is so good. It's just so good. It doesn't do anything poorly. It does everything at an excellent level, and it's truly an amazing video game to be played. And I feel like it is that that story can only be told through the medium of a video game, the way that they told it.
Yes.
And I think it's very unique and very cool, and that's why it's this high on my list, because I really enjoyed playing the game, and I love the story, but I think what it means to video games in general is more, it transcends what it is.
Why it did not score higher on my list, everything you said is true. It's very true. That's why it scored so high on my list. For me, The Last of Us went on a little too long. It just did. Like, everything you said was true. I think it could have been an hour or two shorter, at least. But, yeah, I totally agree. And I'm glad that it stayed with you for so long. And I'm surprised that it made it so high.
Yeah, when I was, like I said, when I was thinking about the top things, it was one of the very first things that came into my mind. So it stayed right up there as we made our top, middle, bottom list. It stayed right up there at the top every time.
Well, my number two is something that you mentioned before, you bastard. It's Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier.
Oh, you mean my number 37?
That's right. I love this movie. It is my favorite movie, Marvel movie, over The Avengers.
What?
I'll say it.
What?
It is great. Everything about it is wonderful. And
you sound like a dude that just met a beautiful woman at a bus stop.
Oh, my God. She's great. She's beautiful. Her personality is wonderful.
Everything about her is great.
That's right.
She has no flaws.
When I first saw it, I loved it. When I saw it again, I loved it even more, because they take a superhero story, a superhero movie, and they turn it into a spy story. But they still have this superhero larger-than-life battles, and Nick Fury gets to kick ass for the first time in his, what, seventh movie?
Right.
Jesus Christ, Black Widow and Captain America, I'm not just going to limit it to those two. Everybody brings their A game. The writing is there, the directing is there, and it had one of the best final battles scenes ever. The Avengers, of course, is better. It's set to be The Avengers. But Captain America 2's, though, was amazing as well. And, dude, for me, you just can't beat it. It is my Guardians of the Galaxy. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
It is great.
Okay.
Because Captain America, the first one, I liked it. I thought it was all right. So I didn't have any expectations coming into the second one. Blew me away.
Okay.
So that's my number two.
I liked it as well. I like it, just not quite as much as you.
What are you talking about?
What?
Now let me ask Steve. Is your number one a TV show?
Kind of.
Okay. What is your number one?
Okie dokie.
Okay, I don't know what that means at all.
I'm going to let you handle that part of the number one. This is definitely a cheat, but there's a reason for the cheat.
Okay.
I'm just going to do a combined TV show thing for my number one. And I'll tell you what. Hold, shut it.
Pumpkin Eater.
Shut your face. And this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to do a combined Game of Thrones / Breaking Bad at number one. And this is what I'm saying. Hold on. Don't you roll your eyes at me, because it's not my true number one. It has to be up here, because we were both blown away at how good it is, and I'm pretty sure it is your number one.
Which one?
Game of Thrones.
Mad Men Season 5? Yes, Game of Thrones, yes.
Okay, then I'm going to let you tackle this, because it's one of those things, it's like GTA 5 to me. We've talked a lot about Breaking Bad. We've talked a lot about Game of Thrones. They are both excellent. And what I mentioned before about being involved week to week on something is great. The real number one thing about this podcast over the last 2.5 years is having a standing date with my best friend every single week to get together to talk about the things that we like and make fun of each other and have a drink and have other people throw in their 2 cents on it as well. That's the best thing about the last 2 years and 4 months about this podcast.
Well, now you make mine seem so superficial.
Go ahead, Wes.
Yeah.
Your number one was what?
God, this is like the end of 8 Mile, where you're Eminem in the situation. You're like, okay, now you go. I just want to walk away.
So that is really my number one thing, is doing this every week and having a good time, and being with my best friend every week. So let's talk about Game of Thrones.
Lame. No, obviously that is a wonderful thing to do for me as well.
Bitch.
Okay, so Game of Thrones
is
obviously my number one.
Okay.
How many times have I said obviously in the last 15
minutes? I mean, there's a lot
of
obvious things happening.
That's very true. So Game of Thrones, my number one. We've talked about it how many times? Countless. Numbers don't go that high. How many times we've talked about Game of Thrones? Game of Thrones takes the wonder of the books. And what I mean by that is George R.R. Martin takes the stories that you know, the story tropes that you know well, they're told time and time again. They take those tropes and what you think is going to happen in those stories, and then he turns them on its head. Game of Thrones, a TV show, for my money, granted, never read the books, distills the books into what you need to see. And again, those of you shouting at the computer, never read the books. But Game of Thrones, every single week, I have to see it because it is the best storytelling that I have seen on TV consistently over the last 5 years. People have not liked this last season. They think it's slower. That's fine. It has worked for me. And when things have started happening this last season, it was well earned because this led up to them.
Because the slow burn.
Exactly. And yes, just turning these preconceived notions on their heads consistently. Plus, Steve, got a lot of boobs in there for you, man.
Got plenty of boobies.
The action is some of the best on TV.
Yeah. And plus, you got the HBO budget. So,
of course.
And they know that this is their cash cow. So, like, yes, do you need this? We'll provide it for you. Like, mm-hmm. Dipped in gold. Yes.
So that is why Game of Thrones has been my number one. And if I had to pick a moment, it was originally The Red Wedding. But let's be honest, The Red Wedding.
Was that within 2 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
It made our best of list one year.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So Game of Thrones as a whole is my number one.
Absolutely. So, and again, my number one, realistically, I suppose, is Game of Thrones / Breaking Bad. Just because there's nothing that we can say that we have not said, nor you've not read or had your own thoughts about watching these amazing shows in this new golden era of television that we now live in. So I will not go into any more details about that. Mm. But shall we recap the top 25?
Let's do the top 50.
Let's do it. Random, super fast, top 50.
Here we go. Sword of Truth, final book, last line, Your Life is Yours Alone, Rise Up and Live It. My number 49, Pacific Rim. 48, Never Not Funny with Jimmy Pardo. Number 47, Review with Forrest McNeil. Number 46, Counter Spy. Steve, this is the worst idea in the world. Number 45 is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Number 44 is The Game Show and Stuff, the radio show that I do every week. My number 43 is Saints Row 4. My number 42 is Game Grumps, a Let's Play series. My number 41 is X-Men Days of Future Past. Number 40 is Walking Dead Season 2, Telltale Game. Steve, do you want to give your top 10?
I do. My top 10?
Or your top 50?
The game Horde, Rise of the Planet of the Apes / Gravity, number 48, Thor, number 47, Snowpiercer, 46, Friendsgiving, number 45, Holmes Inspection, 44, the game Counterspy, 43, Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes, 42, Kung Fury, the YouTube video, number 41, Duncan Parker Newton Games, number 40, Blackfish.
Okay, my number 39, 5 and Out, is our Use of Superpowers, one that you talked about, Jingle All the Way, Netflix review, then it's Modern Family, 37, Bioshock Infinite, then it's Tomb Raider, 35 is Gallivant, Fun and Funny.
Seriously put Tomb Raider above Bioshock Infinite? Gotta keep going.
I did. Good Shadow of Mordor, number 34. Number 33, Getting PS Plus. 32, Spontaneous Nation, the podcast. Number 31 is The Friendsgiving.
Number 39, Metro Last Light. Number 38, John Travolta Name Generator. 37, Captain America 2. 36, Tomb Raider. 35, Tabletop. Number 34, Clark Kent and Batman Million Dollar Idea. 33, Sharknado Viewing. 32, Star Wars Trailer. 31, Devil May Cry / DMC.
My number 32 is Community Season 5. Number 29, Kate Wedding Advice, a stepdad thing. My number 28, I'm just reading from my notes, Old Man's War, the book series. Number 27 is Daredevil. Number 26, Guardians of the Galaxy. My number 25, How Did This Get Made, the podcast. 24, Orange is the New Black. Number 23, NPH is 2013, Tony opening. Number 22, The Wolf, Humongous. My number 21 is The Office.
Number 30, Crocodile Dundee Netflix review. Number 29, The Wes's White Guy. Number 28, PlayStation Plus. Number 27, Shadow of Mordor. 26, Rush. 25, We're Alive. 24, The Lego Movie. Number 23, Michael Chiklis in The Shield. Number 22, What Are You Talking About? What are you talking about? Number 21, Deathstalker. I will not!
Okay, for this top 20, I want us to just bounce back and forth, right?
Okay.
Number 20, Isaac's Proposal.
Superhero Top 5.
Mad Men Season 5.
Civ 5.
Mike Birbiglia and My Girlfriend's Boyfriend.
XCOM Enemy Within Level Whatever.
Codex Alera Book Series.
Zombicide, The Board Game.
Valiant Hearts.
My Life Peaking with Naked Lobster Salad at My Wedding.
Avengers 2, Age of Ultron, the bloated cow of a movie.
Number 15, Django Unchained.
Anne Hathaway from Les Miserables.
Not Anne Hathaway from Batman Rises.
Or Ella
Dark
Enchanted.
Rises. Number 14, Mad Max.
Carl and Jen's final dance at their reception.
Bioshock Infinite.
Agent Carter.
Emails from our listeners, specifically our German listener.
The Last of Us.
My pooch, Luna Pooch.
Okay, my number 10 is True Detective.
Number 10, The Celebrity Hookup, Top 5.
Okay, The Walking Dead, Season 4 and 5.
Number 9, The Conjuring.
Number 8, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 2 Finale.
8, Ip Man.
7, Being the Best Man at Stephen Holly's Wedding.
7, Last Week Tonight, featuring John Oliver.
6, The Americans.
6, The Luchador Beatdown.
5, GTA 5, motherfucker.
5, True Detectives.
4, Breaking Bad, Season 4.
4, The Raid.
3, Justified Series Finale, baby!
Number 3, Guardians of the Galaxy.
2, Cap 2, The Winter Soldier.
Number 2, The Last of Us.
Number 1, Game of Thrones!
Number 1, Game of Thrones / Breaking Bad, but really, doing this every week with Wes and with you guys out there.
Alright, if anybody is still listening out there, we want to thank you for sticking with us on our top 100 things of the last 2 years
wow.
and 4 months.
It's a lot of stuff, man.
It's a lot of stuff, and there's so many things that I didn't even think of.
Yeah.
You talking about The Raid. I didn't think about The Raid. Made me think of Dread,
yeah.
which we did.
Oh my god.
I know,
Dread,
right?
Number 5. Yeah. I love Dread. I also love John Wick. I just thought of John Wick right now as well.
Exactly.
There's a bunch of things we missed. We would love to know the things that you guys love. Maybe give us a top 10, maybe a 20, maybe a 25, a 50. I don't know. Whatever you
want to
give us.
Whatever you want to do, guys.
We love, love, love to hear from you, as we've mentioned on our lists themselves. You
yes.
guys, we love to hear from you, whether you're from Germany or from Georgia, wherever.
That's right.
We don't care.
That's right. And that's Georgia the country, not Georgia the state.
No, if you're from Georgia the state, please don't write in.
That's right. You can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can email us, though, which is probably the best way. You can email us at 5playnet@gmail.com.
So thank you guys very much for letting us do these first 100 podcasts, and hopefully we'll see you for our 200th podcast spectacular.
Where we do 200. It's a 4-day-long podcast. But as always, guys, I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
That was 100.
Oh, that was 50 apiece.
Sure.
That was 100.
And we're out.